And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, with you for the rest of our time together. On the phone with me is Dr. Nick Neupower. Dr. Neupower, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. I hope you're doing well also.
Oh, I am. And I've told you this before. When I get to talk to you, it's like, has it been a month already? It seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Of course, with BC3 president of Butler County Community College. Since the last time I got to talk to you, I'm just wondering how you're all doing, of course. I always like to keep updated with what you're doing at the college, especially since we're still living, of course, during the pandemic. Do you have any kind of update on what you're looking at the college right now concerning COVID?
Yes, I do, and thank you for that opportunity. I think all in all, we're doing incredibly well day to day. Everyone is just moving forward with that true BC3 pioneer spirit. It has been quite challenging, just like for others, so on an individual basis, personal basis, as well as just making sure that the college does everything it can to ensure a safe environment for faculty, staff, students, and visitors to campus. Since Friday, actually even over the weekend, our number of validated positives for COVID has increased to 6. We handle those each individually. We talk to the Department of Health, faculty, students, do our own level of contact tracing, in addition to turning it over to the Department of Health for their level of contact tracing. Probably not all that different. As a matter of fact, I know it's not all that different from sister institutions as well as what's going on at four-year institutions. And a definite advantage that we have is that student housing is not part of our model on our main campus or any campus for that matter, although we do have some students who live in the downtown Butler area. We're on top of it. Certainly takes a lot of work, but I'm pleased with where we are. When we announced the start of the model at the start of the semester on August 24th, of course, our semester will go through December, the early part of December. But on November 20th, that will be the last day of our face-to-face offerings that we have on our campus, and approximately 35 to 38% of our sections are offered in a face-to-face capacity. And what we'll do is we'll end the fall semester in a remote capacity as well as a remote final exam period. The winter, we will have online winter classes, and then we're still moving forward with the model for the spring, which we'll announce very shortly. In saying all of that, we will have perhaps up to a couple-month gap of when we will have students on our campuses, and that will be intentional. It coincides with Thanksgiving break, holiday break, the end of the semester, and what will be the beginning of the spring semester. So we're always one step ahead, I believe, very proactive in what it is that we do, and I think all things considered, we're faring very well at this point.
A couple of questions for you. When you talk about your 6 cases that you say that's been associated with BC3, how are you letting students and the community know? I know I ask you that, and you're telling me, and of course we broadcast, but are you letting folks know through a text? Do you have some kind of newsletter, like an e-newsletter that you put out, or how is that communication handled?
One point of our strategic communication plan at the college that we take very seriously is letting our appropriate audiences know as to what's going on. The saying that I mentioned to President Cabinet for many years is that we want our internal audiences to know before it is a lead on the radio station or above the fold in the local newspaper. Mm-hmm. We take that very seriously. We communicate via email messages, and frankly, we have a wonderful COVID site on our BC3 website that provides all of the appropriate updates, our plan for the fall semester, and what will eventually be the spring semester. We communicate with the faculty and the students in the classes, the faculty and staff handled by our HR department, the students handled by our vice president for student affairs and enrollment management. If there is something larger as to the operations of our campuses, our executive director of operations handles that. So we are very strategic and transparent as much as possible in letting folks know. And that's important, because if that communication isn't there, then the grapevine will start, and that could lead to panic. And we take that very seriously, and I think the responses that we've got from the community as a whole very much validates that they're happy with how we're handling those communications.
Another question on something about the break that you mentioned. When, you know, the break is a little different, if you even want to call it a break at this point, because of in past years, you'd have that holiday break and come back for the same semester. What do you think it'll look like in the future for community colleges or colleges in general, universities? Do you think they'll include that holiday break once again as we go down the road? Or do you think this is one of those changes that will stick as we move into the future?
I really do think there will be a new paradigm that emerges from all of this. Some cases for better, and other cases just something that will be different. I think that all colleges and universities are analyzing the utilization of their bricks and mortar. I am a firm believer, as I've mentioned before in the last several months when we've been doing these, I still am a firm believer of sense of place and the value of that. I'm just so impressed when I look outside my office window or take a walk on our beautiful main campus. Not only are students, faculty, and staff following the rules, but I think they're following the rules in a very enthusiastic way, because they want that level of normalcy and they want that level of interpersonal interaction. Fortunately, we've offered online classes for quite some time. I think that we will continue to do that, continue to expand in those areas. But in the big picture, it will be a very different utilization of the bricks and mortar, the space on college and university campuses.
What's the feedback been like since folks have been taking online courses? I know that's been offered from you for a while, but since that has increased, what has been the feedback like? Because then when you're looking into the spring, how does that help you determine what to offer in the spring?
We have a great educational technology division that is part of academic affairs. Dean Ann McCandless and her staff do a phenomenal job along those lines. It's very important that we do evaluate feedback, feedback from faculty, staff, and certainly our students. Our students evaluated the very quick change that we made in the spring semester to go either remote or online in an incredibly positive way. And it was those feedback from the students that allowed me to make the ultimate decision for the fall semester that we would have a little bit of each of the teaching modalities, face-to-face, blended lab, which means that you're taking the lecture at home and you're coming to a BC3 campus site for the hands-on lab, remote, and then online offerings. So the feedback has been incredibly positive.
Have you thought of anything new that you might be offering in the spring? Or are you at that point in decision-making, or are we still just trying to keep status quo because of what we've been living through?
That's a great question, and I would certainly argue that maintaining status quo is more difficult now than ever before. However, having said that, and I mentioned this at my convocation speech, which was a virtual model this year, that we take the role of us being the community college incredibly serious, and we want to reach out to the communities we serve to see how it is that we can help them in any way. We certainly continue to do that, whether it be with food insecurity issues, whether it be combating and fighting the opiate problem that our society is facing. So I believe in moving forward that any way that we can help the communities we serve will be an even more important part of our model at BC3.
Dr. Nick Neupower on the phone with us with our extended news at noon. I want to ask you about your All In for Nursing. I know you got the building thought there, the programs that would be offered. So where are you when it comes to the nursing program there at this point?
Thanks for that question. Yes, we are all in for nursing, and phase one of the Victor K. Phillips Nursing and Allied Health project is underway. Actually, the phase one is more of the construction of a new maintenance and operations building, so that the current building for maintenance and operation will eventually be torn down, and that will be the actual site of the Phillips Nursing and Allied Health building. Site work really gone very well. New roadways on our main campus, and it is all setting up for the construction of that phenomenal state-of-the-art Phillips building. We are moving forward in our collaborations with Concordia, as well as Grove City College. Grove City College has already accepted its first cohort of students. They're already taking classes at Grove City, freshman-type classes, gen ed-type classes in the nursing curriculum. And then it'll be next year that those students in the cohort from Grove City will be making the trip to our main campus and enroll in our RN program. Again, those students will receive the RN degree from BC3 and then back to Grove City for the BSN, Bachelor of Science in Nursing portion of the degree. These Grove City students will not be taking any seats of BC3 students. Frankly, a financial commitment from Grove City made that possible, so we're just expanding our nursing program. We're working very well with Concordia to help Concordia address its nursing shortage, and with great financial support, frankly, capital support, operating support that allows us to hire the additional staff needed to expand our program, and probably most important of all would be student scholarship support. We are moving forward with the creation of a LPN program for nursing. So I think that we're in a really good place for nursing, great leadership with Dr. Anir, our dean in the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health. And frankly, we have already expanded the program, even minus the bricks and mortar at this point. I think that's symbolic of what it means to be the community's college. We need more folks in healthcare, particularly in this profession. And frankly, we are right on target for a 22, ideally a fall of 2022, opening of the new Phillips Building.
When you talk about the Grove City students making that trip down to Butler, are you talking a bus trip to come down for classes, or do they physically have to move from Grove City to come down to Butler to then return back to Grove City?
It's my understanding that Grove City College will provide the transportation, not necessarily sure that it's busing, might be more vans. I believe the cohort is ballpark around 20, plus or minus. And those students will not be taking all BC3 classes their what would be their sophomore year as a student at Grove City, and then their junior year. They will be mixing and matching classes between BC3 as well as Grove City. It will be a cohort model. So our Dean for Nursing and Allied Health, Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health, Dr. Anir, is making sure that it would be a good model for them. And in other words, not making the trip 5 days a week, perhaps only a couple or 3 days.
So if individuals are thinking of going to Grove City and then, of course, enrolling in the program or that collaboration with BC3, they can stay at Grove City, live at Grove City, but they'd still come down for classes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Part of this model is folks select a wonderful institution for the overall residential experience, and that is a very important part. So, yes, this would all be on Grove City's end to be accepted into the BSN program. Those students would need to meet our qualifications, and, yes, they would enroll and live at Grove City.
Does that mean you have to have programs already developed at this point, even though the building isn't finished?
Yes. Oh, great question. So not only with Grove City, but also with Concordia. As a matter of fact, we've converted some space that we have on our main campus to help to accommodate. In other words, the programs can start immediately as opposed to waiting until we have the Phillips Building. So, yes, the programs are well underway.
Dr. Nick Neupower, just one more area I want to touch upon before I let you go for the day. As always, we appreciate your time, but I want to ask you, kind of going back to the COVID thought that we had started our conversation with, because we're living the times that we are, and you're such an important part of our community with Butler County Community College, how are your finances right now? That's always top of mind because businesses are wondering, how do we stabilize what we've gone through, and then how do we proceed forward, and then how do we grow from that? So how is BC3 doing right now?
We're doing well. I think we're doing probably better than most. That does not mean that we are without challenges. Our model at the college, very much like we have in our own households, is to make sure that we have the appropriate savings account in case there are emergencies that come up. Emergencies could be governmental cuts in funding, could be trees that go through buildings, which happened twice in my presidency of 13, going on 14 years. It is incredibly important to have that quote-unquote savings account. Our finances are embedded into our strategic plan. Vice President Jim Hrabowski and I, he is our chief financial officer, have presented this at national conferences, the fact that we have the appropriate benchmarks in our strategic plan as it relates to our finances. We are always looking ahead, whether that is with programmatic initiatives, could be expansion into other parts of Western Pennsylvania. Frankly, it could be containment of expenses. The latest model that the college is moving forward with, in addition to all of the above, is a retirement incentive. We've offered some retirement incentives in the past, certainly in my time as president, but this latest retirement incentive was for administration, administrative assistants, maintenance, operations, campus police, and the faculty already had one in its contract. We had a number of takers. Frankly, it'll be a big loss to the college to utilize all those years of experience. But really, the lifeline of an organization is, you know, folks who have been there for a while, and then the handoff to new individuals who bring in their backgrounds to the institution. So we will be announcing the number and sharing with the college community as a whole these folks that are taking this retirement incentive. And one point that I've made very clear is that it is not a rubber stamp that all of these positions will be filled. Basically, the only way that this works is not necessarily filling all of the positions, taking a look at what I call a college reset, analyzing job descriptions, and seeing if some things can be changed, tweaked. And above all, we always match those job descriptions with our strategic plan and our mission at the college. We're doing this, again, as just the life of an organization. We're in year 55 or 56, but make no mistake about it, this also helps us in this very unique time with our finances.
Will there be any lack of services if you don't refill positions?
Oh, absolutely not. That's a great question. In some cases, we might have an interim for a certain period of time before we go forward with any kind of a search, whether it be national or a local search. But really, for the users of Butler County Community College, there should be no way that they would see any difference.
Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College. Dr. Neupower, any final thoughts you want to leave with us for the day before I let you go?
As always, it's so great to talk with you and to the listeners, and I hope that the radio station continues to do a great job. You're such an important community asset. Something that we don't take for granted at BC3 is the fact that we have a great local radio station, a great local newspaper, and just cannot thank you and your colleagues enough for the great work you do.
Well, thank you. Are you ready for the fall and the cold and the winter?
Absolutely. That means football season, and we had a little break this weekend, but the fact that our hometown Steelers are doing so well just makes the chill in the air even that much more special.
I know. I love fall, and I get razzed every year, and I get razzed every year when it's winter, and I love the snowfall. So
I'm with you.
Good. Yay. All right, Dr. Neupower. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for your time.
Okay, you take care.